Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
17-17 tie. 4:24 to go in the game. Mahomes calls an audible and backs up behind Creed Humphrey. Here comes a blitz. Quick pass is cut. This side. Touchdown! Kansas City! DeAndre Hopkins on the quick left side slant. The second time D-Hop has tasted the sweet nectar of the Chiefs Kingdom end zone. And the Chiefs lead 23-17. Mike Caliendo comes in as an extra blocker. This is third down and one. At the two-yard line, a touchdown, walks it off, handoff, Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is, give it to him, touchdown, Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt, and the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0, the only unbeaten team in the National Football League, 14 straight wins for the Chiefs Kingdom. That's an all-time Kansas City record and seventh in National Football League history. 8-0, a 10-play, 70-yard drive for a touchdown. Tampa Bay never touched it in OT. 4:08 was on the clock when Kareem Hunt dragged Tampa Bay defenders into the sweet nectar of the end zone. And the Kansas City Chiefs set a team record tonight and stay undefeated.
Yeah, there it is. Led, as we all predicted back in August, by Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins. The Chiefs get it done on Monday Night Football. Just continue to find ways to win these games. Certainly not the best defensive performance they've had all year, but they get it done anyway, Tommy. 30-24 winners. Welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here. Jad Chambers producing. We have a jam-packed show for you today. Lots of things to get to. Not only did we have the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, we had Wichita State open its season on the road with a win. We had Kansas open at home with a win. And we've got K-State football, or K-State basketball, I should say, going tonight. So it is a jam-packed show. The IHOP hotline is open for you to react to any of it. That's 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves. All your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Glad to be here with you, Tommy. That was a busier Monday night than I expected. How are you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, going from Monday Night Football to Shocker basketball in their opener to KU, their opener at home last night. It was a lot of bouncing back and forth between multiple games last night, but it's fun. Like, this is the best time of the year, you know, now through the probably March Madness. I mean, we're obviously in the thick of it now with college basketball tipping off and full swing in the NFL. College football is getting down to the wire too. We get our CFP top 12 rankings today. So, I mean, there's no rest for the wicked, and it continues today for sure. So I'm excited to get into it.
And there's something else going on around the country today.
There is.
Let's all behave. Let's all be nice, and let's all be here tomorrow when the sun rises, and everything's going to be just fine.
And let's all get out there and actually vote today. You know, like the worst thing you can do is sit at home and not do anything. So if you haven't voted already today, I haven't done it. I got to go today. I might have to wait in a line. I'm not really sure, but I got to get that taken care of today.
I am typically an early voter, and this is as crowded as I've seen, which is interesting, and we'll have all that coverage tonight. Oh, man, I don't know that election nights are fun, but they're also a lot. And if I knew people would be nicer to each other, I'd probably enjoy them a whole lot more. But I am excited that we are almost through with it. Because I'm to the point in my life where I'm over it, right? I'm over how mean everybody is to each other and how much these people try to make everybody hate each other. So I'm glad for that to be done. But here we go. Sun will be up tomorrow. We'll be right here with a Sports Daily show for you either way. We've got Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, coming up at 10 o'clock to go back into Monday Night Football and look ahead to this week as well. It's a short week, of course, which is always a little bit dangerous in the NFL, but we can get into all that with Dan. Let's go to last night, Tommy, and we'll start there. We'll get to some college hoops as we make our way through this hour as well. So that was impressive. I didn't like 9 points. Nobody ever liked 9 points. I certainly didn't expect And it was a little strange. You know, Tampa didn't move the ball like crazy, Tommy, but they did score a lot of points and they took advantage. It felt like the Chiefs could have had about 45 points in that game. They early in the game, definitely, you know, you had the Kelce fumble. I don't even remember what happened on the opening drive where they could, it was a penalty. No, it was that big. It was that Mahomes sack. They should have had it. Oh, it was the Worthy. The Worthy should have had the touchdown. He just lost his place on the field. I mean, get into him at some point too, but they still get to 30 points. And I know they got to overtime, but that was as good, I thought, as we've seen the offense all year long.
It was, and it was really the opportunity for DeAndre Hopkins to show out. And I mentioned it with Paul on the show yesterday that I was going to be all over DeAndre Hopkins player props on his receptions, on his receiving yards, on his anytime touchdowns. I felt like his first home game as a Chief inside Arrowhead in primetime, you know, you got a former first team All-Pro. I mean, just the guy has had more receiving yards than anybody in the last decade plus in the NFL. And he actually had an opportunity with a longer week between games to be able to get that much more acclimated to the offense. I just felt like it was going to be a coming out party. And what's interesting, and you mentioned Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins at the top. And it's funny because the last time the Chiefs played Monday Night Football, that was the first home game back in Arrowhead for Kareem Hunt. And he went off in that game against the Saints. So for me, it was just kind of like both scenarios, both games was an opportunity for the new guys. And in the case of Kareem Hunt, the old new guy or the new old guy to really be able to show out in front of the home crowd. And DeAndre Hopkins was able to do that. You saw pretty much in real time. It felt like that trust factor with Mahomes and Hopkins just blossom. And I texted you during the game, the catch that Hopkins made, the first touchdown that he made, that catch, that was a catch that I don't care who the receiver was on the Chiefs roster over the last 3 years. No other receiver was making that catch. And DeAndre Hopkins, that's why you bring him in. That's why you trade for him. Even though he's over the age of 30, even though you know he's injury prone, whatever, all the different things, that right there is why you bring DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City.
I thought was really interesting in this game. A, Travis Kelce had 16, yeah. 16 targets. That's interesting. But what I thought I saw from Hopkins, yes, the big play, and that is sort of an element they haven't had in a really long time. But even if you took that play away, took it out, I thought you saw Hopkins play the role of Juju Smith-Schuster of 2 years ago, Rashee Rice of last year. Mahomes just is going to throw him the ball when they need a big play. The one difference, though, to me is the velocity at which Mahomes was firing it in there to Hopkins seemed at another level, maybe. And I don't know if that has anything to do with him. I don't know if that has anything to do with specific routes, but it did look like he was more comfortable just, you know, firing missiles at Hopkins because he knew he would come down with them, and he did. But that role is filled and some. And I think that's what matters, right? Like the things they needed Rashee Rice to do, we saw that last night. Like that was that role. And we know how much better this offense is with that role filled that way. So I think you take that away. And man, Kareem Hunt, I didn't see this coming with him, but he looks good. He's exactly what the team needs. I think when Pacheco comes back, they work together really well, but he's just been steady Eddie and one of the biggest reasons they're unbeaten right now.
Yeah. And look, I think that also with the way that offense has sort of, you know, just come together over the last few weeks or so. Yeah. You've got DeAndre Hopkins now providing that role that you mentioned. They really had wanted Rashee Rice to do this season. And Hopkins can do a whole lot of different things also and kind of play multiple different roles. But I thought what was interesting was this was the first time I felt like this season offensively, Patrick Mahomes wanted to really stay in the pocket and let plays develop downfield. Now he did take some sacks, and that's what's going to happen when you've got Vita Vea, you know, playing for the Buccaneers, and he's a menace, he's a problem. And I don't think the offensive line, at least early on in the game, played particularly well overall. I mean, Wanya Morris, left tackle, continues to be just an absolute liability for Kansas City. But even the interior line to start the game didn't play great. It's hard to go up against a guy like Vita Vea. They did lock down more in the second half. But I thought the sacks on Mahomes, in my opinion, were a direct result of Mahomes feeling more comfortable staying in the pocket and not feeling like he had to improvise and create something out of nothing. He wanted to see plays develop downfield, and that's the difference of having a DeAndre Hopkins on your roster, because the improvisation doesn't necessarily have to be with Mahomes in the backfield. The improvisation can be with Mahomes staying in the pocket if he's got the protection and letting Hopkins go and improvise downfield and knowing that, you know, Mahomes can find him. And that's a piece of the passing game that just hasn't been there really at any level over the last couple of years. And that's not a knock on guys like Rashee Rice and, you know, others that are on the team. They're very talented. But Hopkins has been doing this for long enough in the league that his reputation is he can go and even if a play breaks down or a route is busted or whatever it is, he can go try to make something happen. And when he's got a quarterback like Mahomes, they can just find him and throw the ball up and know Hopkins is going to go get it. That's going to allow Patrick Mahomes, if he has the protection, to be able to stay in the pocket and not have to move around a ton.
Yeah, it does. The passing game can be quick, like we saw. How many shots did we see? We saw the one that was just missed to Watson. We saw Worthy's goof. That's 2, 3. Hopkins got his at least 3. And there may have been another I'm forgetting about. So we did see deep shots in
and
this game.
And don't you think also that since, you know, you've got now the threat downfield in Hopkins, that, I mean, that's a direct result of that is Travis Kelce having the number of catches that he had. I mean, that you can't, it's really difficult for defenses to be able to, you know, to cover both of them. And I think that, you know, as great as Travis Kelce is, that we all know, and it's pretty clear when you watch him, that while he is going to be, you know, the ball hog in that regard and still get his yards and be super effective, some of the things that Kelce has done over his career, maybe he shouldn't be doing quite as much of anymore, like trying to juke and get extra yards and things like that, because he's fumbling more at a higher clip than he had in the past. So I'd like to see that, you know, sort of refined and worked on a little bit more. But I mean, it doesn't take away from his overall greatness and the fact that, you know, he gets to be a direct beneficiary of the fact that now you've got a talent like DeAndre Hopkins on the field.
Yeah, I mean, over his last 5 games, Kelce's had at least 9 targets in 4 of them. So he's clearly, they're ready to open him up into the offense more. And that's great, because the more of that he does, the more you can maybe push Hopkins down the field on a lot of plays. You know, Worthy, we might as well just get, Worthy has been, I think, disappointing so far. I think that's fair. Now, that doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean he's not going to get better. I think he will. I think they, you know, the difference between Worthy and when we were beginning to say like Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney were disappointing, I think are miles and miles and miles apart from each other. But like, you got to know where you are on that play if you're Worthy.
See,
you can't run out of bounds. You can't. I think he needs, we're to the point now with Worthy, and I think he will, by the way. I think he's going to be pretty good. But we're to the point of the season where mistakes like that, you can't make those mistakes, because they really haven't, like, he's had the busted coverage early in the year. And I think Aikman brought this up last night. Other than the busted coverage play early in the year, and last night was a busted coverage play that he didn't convert on, were they supposed to help them take shots? And I just don't think he's doing that right now. And I don't know why that is. You know, I don't know what the reason for that is, but it doesn't matter as much if Hopkins can do that, right? Like, is okay. So if Worthy's not doing it, if Hopkins adds the element of what they thought, you know, Worthy would be able to get them. Now he's been thrust into a larger role faster than, you know, than they had liked. But if Hopkins gives you that, that doesn't really matter whether Worthy is coming along quickly or slowly, because
yeah,
Hopkins can give it to you.
I'm not ready yet to say that he's a disappointment. I don't think that he is. I mean, I think that he's been,
I'm not saying he's a disappointment. I'm saying he's been disappointed.
I don't think but I don't even think he's been disappointing. I mean, I think he's a rookie, and I think that, you know, he's been thrust into a role that, you know, he hasn't had an opportunity to grow into yet. And I think that that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment, because if you look at what the Chiefs' plans were for Xavier Worthy to start this season, going all the way back to training camp, the plans were to also have Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice and then Travis Kelce, obviously. So I think that they wanted to utilize Xavier Worthy and develop him in the same way that they did Rashee Rice a season ago, where he came along slowly and he wasn't much of an impact player early on in the season. And then you get to the second half of the year and into the playoffs and all of that, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, Rashee Rice, he's arrived. He's on the scene now. That's what I think what they ideally wanted to do with Xavier Worthy. That hasn't happened. I mean, before they went and traded for DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster was out. Hollywood Brown was out. Rashee Rice was out. Xavier Worthy was their wide receiver one as a rookie. That's not the way that they wanted to utilize him in his rookie season. So I'm not willing to say that he's been disappointing. I think he's been a rookie. And I think that now having an all-pro in DeAndre Hopkins alongside you and Travis Kelce can help take that pressure off. I'm perfectly fine with the role that Xavier Worthy is playing and the way that he's been able to perform. You're muted, Jacob.
I didn't even mute myself that time. I'm not down on Worthy, but I do think it's fair. Look, he's 10th right now among rookie receivers in yards. And he's been presented an opportunity where the team's top, you know, three, at least two or three, if you count Hollywood Brown's, pass catchers are down. So I think he's had a chance to take off in the offense, and he hasn't done that yet. And so when you see an opportunity blown like it was last night, I think that is disappointing. And I think he'll be fine big picture. But like, if you just go down the list, I mean, he's getting targets. He's just not converting on them hardly at all. He hasn't missed games, and his production just hasn't been very high in an offense where he would have had an opportunity. Now, again, it doesn't matter because they went out and they got Hopkins, and Hopkins it looks incredible. I mean, Hopkins looks just unbelievably good, and they're 8-0, so it's not that big a deal, but I do think we can look at it, and I think we can look at him and at least for me, like, I think there should be more there for him so far based on the role that has been available to him and some of the plays he hasn't been able to convert on. Like, that play last night, that you can't do that.
Yeah, but like, I also think, and sure, like, you'd love to have that one back. Worthy would love to have that one back. There's no doubt about that. Should have been a walk-in touchdown. It wasn't. Does he make that play a year from now? Probably. I think that that's just the reality of where he is in his development. And sure, he's 10th overall in rookies and yardage and all of that. And you can compare him to other rookies in the draft class and where they're at. Like, I know that Rome Odunze has exploded for the Bears, and you've got Marvin Harrison and like some of these other rookie wide receivers. I think that the Chiefs felt like they, you know, when they went and got Xavier Worthy and they drafted him, that he could be somebody that didn't necessarily have to be thrust into the premier role. And I like where he is now with the players around him and surrounding him. If you were going to trot out a wide receiver core that was led by Xavier Worthy in his rookie season with guys like Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman below him on the depth chart, I wouldn't like that for, number one, the Chiefs offense, but also Worthy specifically. That puts a whole heap a lot of pressure on his shoulders. But then you get to have an all-pro in DeAndre Hopkins with you, and I think that does alleviate some of that for sure, and I think we'll continue to see that. And I think that also, you also have to take into consideration when before the Chiefs go out and get DeAndre Hopkins, the identity of the team really wasn't to air the ball out because they just didn't have the personnel to be able to do that. And defenses,
that's why he's there.
But not by himself, not to be the one guy to do that, because defenses know that too. If you don't have DeAndre Hopkins on the field, then they can absolutely clamp down on Xavier Worthy as a rookie and get him off of his game. And then all of a sudden the Chiefs have nothing in the passing game. So like that really hadn't been, that wasn't their identity. And we talked about that at length, that it was going to be run the ball a ton. And you know, that was really going to be the way that they were going to be successful. They did that with Kareem Hunt last night. Now, Hunt wasn't fully efficient early on in the game. There wasn't a lot of opportunities for him. I felt like the Chiefs abandoned the run when they shouldn't. Kind of middle of the game after halftime, they got back to it in the fourth quarter, and that's when they were able to get back into the game, and that's when Kareem Hunt finished with over 100 yards on the ground or whatever.
Mahomes said that in his on field.
So that was huge.
After game,
I mean, they don't win that game unless they get back to the running game, and Kareem Hunt is able to find those holes and really be able to convert on first down. That's why they got back in the game.
Well, I want to get Dan's take on Worthy. And I don't, this doesn't need to be a Worthy conversation. The Chiefs are 8-0 and they're fine. But he's got two catches over 20 yards this year, like this entire season. He hasn't missed a game.
He's a
right?
rookie.
Eight games.
He's fine. He's fine.
There's nine other rookies who are performing better than him, and he's a first-round pick.
He's perfectly fine. I feel like it's unfortunate that after a game in this regard and the Chiefs are 8-0, that's the conversation that we're having as critical of Xavier Worthy. Like, that to me, that's like, I don't know, a dozen places down in the priority chart of things to discuss in this show.
It was about the fifth or sixth game thing we got to in the game, and it only came up because we were talking about those deep shots.
He's perfectly fine.
Yeah, he is because the Chiefs are 8-0, and they just keep finding ways to win these games, and it's been pretty wild to watch, and here they go. You know, it's just one thing after the other. They got it right. There's been a lot of trading this morning. That maybe we'll get to today. If not, we'll let the dust settle.
By the way, speaking of trades, really quick, Dan Graziano from ESPN is reporting that the Chiefs are inquiring about cornerbacks all around the NFL. So they're probably not done. If they can make it work financially, they may be making a move for somebody in the secondary.
Yeah, it was, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I continue to say, push your chips in this year. Go for it. You've got history. All different things happening. We'll get to Dan Israel on that at the top of the hour. He joins us, our Chiefs insider. We're going to talk some college hoops next. We've got to get through the Shockers game. We got to get through the KU game. It's a jam-packed Tuesday. Happy Election Day, everybody. It is all Brockton Castor. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at KFH and all the Odyssey studios. We'll be back with more Sports Daily right after this.
And 1240.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you. KFH, the radio home of K-State Sports. Check it out tonight, 6 o'clock, Wildcat Basketball hosting New Orleans. Tune in to 97.5, 1240 KFH at 6, or download the free Odyssey app. Search for KFH at game time. Welcome back in to Sports Daily, everybody. Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Castor here. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. You can also leave us your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X, where we are glad to have you. Tommy, big night of college basketball last night. That was unkind of all the different things we were trying to keep up with all at the same time. But boy, it is nice to have college hoops back. And it feels a lot like the unknown in a lot of ways. And we'll start with Wichita State here, and we'll get to K-State or KU in just a little bit. But I mean, look, I don't know how much of the Shocker game. We love the outcome, right? Love the outcome. Fantastic outcome. Fantastic debut, obviously, for Justin Hill. Incredible. I don't know how much to lean into, you know, 11 made threes in the game. Last week, Paul Mills told us he didn't think they'd be like a great three-point shooting team, but he thought they'd be better than they were a year ago. That obviously led the way for the Shockers offensively. We certainly need to see him be better defensively. They cleaned up the turnovers in the second half. But at the end of the day, what did they win last year on the road? Two games? And they opened the year with a win over a nice opponent there in Western Kentucky. Great way to start the year for the Shockers.
It 100% was. Because Western Kentucky, you know, they're not a slouch team. You know, they're just not. And so being able to hang with them on the road to kick off the season, and keep in mind, this is something that Paul and I talked about yesterday. It's by and large a brand new team. Now, obviously, you've got returners and Quincy Ballard and Harlan Beverly, Bijan Cortez, Ronnie DeGray, Xavier Bell. Like, you've got some of those pieces returning. But by and large, I mean, the newcomers, I think, are set and primed, and Justin Hill showed this last night, to make a major impact, to be major impact players on this Shocker roster. And so this was the first real opportunity to be able to see all that come together outside of an exhibition game against Emporia State. And it wasn't like a cupcake game inside Koch Arena to start off the season. I mean, Paul Mills challenged his guys on the road in Bowling Green to start off the season. And that's something that I'm really impressed by. I admire that. I admire the fact that that was the very first game of the year out of the gate to get this team tested. And, you know, I thought Taylor Eldridge had a really good article before the game. I believe it came out over the weekend, or maybe it came out yesterday, talking about how the newcomers on this team, Paul Mills prioritized those guys having NCAA tournament experience. And that was something that was really important to him in bringing these players over. We asked Coach Mills about that a couple of different times in his conversations with us during the offseason and how that matters, and that culture and building that in the locker room and things like that. You get there by starting off your season playing games like that on the road to kick off the season in a hostile environment, taking on a Western Kentucky team that at one point held a 6 or 8 point lead in the first half, and it was a battle back and forth. And so I'm extremely impressed by that victory. That's a gritty win, you know, led by Justin Hill being able to do what he did. I'm sure that there are things they want to clean up, especially defensively, to your point. But all in all, I'm extremely impressed by the way they started this season.
Yeah, look, I don't, in that game this year, when we don't think there are going to be tons and tons of opportunities for, you know, resume building wins, you take that one however you can get it. That's a road win. Now we hope Western Kentucky has a really nice year, and that becomes one of the signature wins of the Shockers season to put on the resume, right? Like, so bottom line at the end of the day, that's all anybody cares about. I think for me, it's like, I don't know, like identity wise for this team, I don't know how much of this is like long-term identity type stuff. I don't know. Is Justin Hill that kind of scorer? He flashed like that at Georgia, right? Like he had some games. I think his high there was 21 points. So that part's not that surprising. Things that, you know, have been kicked around to me is Xavier Bell's looked good in the preseason. He looked good last night. They need that because Bijan Cortez can't have four turnovers, right? Like you can't in 24 minutes. That can't happen. So they need the ability to switch that up if it's not going right. I thought early as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, this looks too sloppy, right? Like I think, but it was kind of going both ways, and they eventually got that figured out. I think it was, what was it, 10 turnovers in the first half and 4 in the second half, I think. So
they got that cleaned up. And I want to go back to what you mentioned about Western Kentucky, you know, maybe that being a signature win for the Shockers. Keep in mind, Western Kentucky made the NCAA tournament a season ago. They were Conference USA champions, and they return a majority of their production from a season ago. And I didn't know this, you know, until I was looking it up this morning and recapping the game. I didn't realize that the Hilltoppers have like the second oldest roster in the country. It's a very experienced squad. And in their home environment, I mean, just watching the game, like you could tell that place was juiced, right? Like there, it's the first opportunity for the Western Kentucky fan base to see the team that went to the NCAA tournament a season ago and to celebrate them and all of that. And so that had, it had all the makings of Wichita State coming into that environment and being rattled, because it's really the first time that we've seen this collection of the returners and the newcomers coming together and playing in a game. This was not an easy cakewalk by any means. And I thought that what Justin Hill did the best was just being able to take the game over. And that was something that the Shockers missed big time a season ago. Like they desperately needed that a year ago, because they would get, at times they would just get lost. Like they would disappear for stretches of a game offensively. And you'd be like, well, where is the bucket going to come from? If the Shockers need to stem a tide or stop a run by the other team, or they need to, you know, put it on the back of somebody, who are they going to go to? I don't really feel like they had that person, that go-to guy a season ago. If it can be Justin Hill, fantastic. I mean, through one game, it's hard to tell if that's going to be the way it is every single game. But man, it certainly was impressive what he was able to do.
Yeah, the 9 from 11 from the free throw line to me was the most important for what you're talking about. You have to have somebody just create when it's not there, right? And the Shockers missed too many free throws late in the game. That's another thing you kind of want to just toss to the side and not worry too much about. But I'm telling you right now, if the Shockers shoot 40% from three, they're going to win a ton of games this year. That's the big one for me. I don't know how realistic that is. Credit to them for firing away in the first half, especially when they were just absolutely feeling it, right? And just keep going, right? Heat check time. That will be the biggest difference, I think, in what we've seen out of Shocker basketball. But yeah, if a guy like Hill can get to the free throw line that way, that sort of cures what ails you when you're struggling, right? If you can get, it's what, I think back to some of the great Shocker, I think back to Fred VanVleet. Like what did the Shockers do when they needed something to snap out? Fred would drive in and just get hammered down low, and he didn't get nearly enough fouls called on him as he should have. He should have been shooting 10 free throws a game. But that's a way to get your offense back on track. Like when you're slumping in a game and it's inevitable, if you can get to the free throw line, you can hang in there until you get through that slump. So I thought, to me, that was as good as anything. You know, Mate and his eligibility was good. Bochniak, I thought he looked, he's not there yet. I'll just say that. I thought he needs some time. And of course, you know, you come in internationally, and that's what you're going to have to do, but at least they have his size.
I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine.
Well, I don't know yet.
No, I think he will be.
Really, really glad they have him there. I think he will be. Because they need the backup. We saw Ballard pick up two fouls. They got to have him, right? They got to have somebody down there.
I think Mate will be, and I think that, you know, you're coming off of a situation where he's cleared 48 hours before the game, and that's got to be, you know, difficult prior to that mentally for both Mate and Paul Mills. Like, are we going to have him or not? And how does he fit into our game plan? And then all of a sudden, 48 hours later, he's on the court. And so I think he'll be fine. He's competed against your really high level competition overseas. I think he'll be okay. The other thing to keep in mind too is that Paul and I discussed this yesterday on the show. There's been a history of these decisions not going Wichita State's way in recent years with Colby Rogers and Teddy Allen. Like those decisions have not gone the Shockers' way. And so it could be really easy to have kind of a glass half empty or defeatist mentality. Like, oh, he's probably not going to get cleared. You and I talked about that. Like, yeah, more than likely, he's probably not going to play just because we know the way that the NCAA operates. And so it's a pleasant surprise. But then you also have to very quickly, like, push all of that out of the way and be like, well, let's get ready to play. So I think he'll be okay. I'm not concerned at all about what
I'm
saw from
concerned.
Him in game one.
I'm glad he's there because Ballard picks up the two quick fouls, which is possible for him, and they need somebody else to put in there. And so that I think is good. He's a gifted passer too, by the way. I thought that was the best part of his game last night was his, which shouldn't surprise us, right? All the Croatian stars in the NBA and the way they can pass. But it was a great, great start for the Shockers. They come home for the home opener against Montana State. That's Saturday evening. Certainly excited about that. I want to know, can this team shoot that way? If this team shoots that way, and again, I don't think that should be the expectation because I don't think it's Paul Mills' expectation. But hey, why not, right? We there's some new guys in here letting it rip. And I have heard that Bell has, you know, really taken another step this offseason. So we'll see. But that's Saturday. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. KU played last night. Certainly a game where it was never in question of whether they were going to win against Howard. But I think there's a lot of positives to take out of KU's opener as well. We'll do that next. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. Dan Israel joining us top of the hour. Don't go away.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back. I want to quickly tell you about Pepin Suter Remodeling. If you have any home projects that you need to get done, they did our kitchen remodel. And it was fantastic. It was the lowest bid. The quality of it has been fantastic. Any follow-up questions, I send them a message about some of the stuff all the time. And they come back, they check on it, they make sure everything's good. You can give Pepin a call, 316-573-6822. You can check them out online, check out all their great work. Just a really nice experience. So if you have any home remodeling need, can't recommend Pep and Suter Remodeling enough. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. You know, Tommy, you text me just during the break about my cough, and I'm sure people catch it. I'm surprised I made it back from vacation. Apparently, this cough is very inconvenient for my wife. I think she's going to kill me at some point, whether it's, you know, on...
There it is right there.
On an airplane. So here's what happens. If I take a deep breath, this has been since COVID too, the first time I had it, that the long cough, this has to be what this is. If I take a deep breath, it catches. Now, I had some junk earlier in the cough, and I've never felt bad. Like, none of this has ever felt bad. I'm to this point now, and this happens every time, and it'll last me a long time. Like, it lasts like a month. If I take a deep breath, it catches and I lose it. And it's miserable trying to be on air doing this, by the way. Like, I at least have a mute button here, but on TV, I don't have that quite as simply. Like, I can reach back and mute my microphone pack, but like, I've got to do Election Day cut-ins and coverage tonight. And I'm like, God, this is so annoying. Like, I know it annoys everybody else. I promise it annoys me just as much.
What's funny is that, you know, you mentioned your wife's reaction to it, and like, that's marriage, right? Like, your spouse is annoyed when you're sick. Like, they're inconvenienced more than you are, and you're the one that feels terrible. Like, that's kind of the way that it works. And when I texted you, I was like, you probably got to go to a doctor, because that's what my wife gets mad at me about, is she's like angry at me that I don't go to the doctor to get things checked out. And like, you know, or I really, what it comes down to is like, I won't take medicine. And I will, but she'll be like, I told you you needed to take something. Why aren't you taking anything? I'm like, I haven't yet. You know, so
the only times I've heard, have you taken something for that? And I'm like, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Like, I know what's happening. There's nothing I can do. Like, it's going to take a long, annoying, damn time. And there's nothing I can do about it.
Jad and I were talking about it during the break that on Friday, I was concerned that you and I were going to be able to get through the show, because I felt bad. Like, I did not feel good. I was coughing on Friday. You were coughing on Friday. I felt like we were muting microphones back and forth. And I told Jad at the time, 9 times out of 10, yours is a long cough. When I get sick, I lose my voice. 9 times out of 10, it just goes away. It'll be gone for days at a time. And I'm like, I'm going to come back on Monday, have to host the show and have no voice. Fortunately, that didn't happen. It was the one time it didn't happen. But man, you and I were not in good shape on Friday.
I haven't even felt bad. Like, I don't even feel bad. I've never felt bad with this cough. It's literally just been a cough. It's so annoying.
Better
so,
go to the doctor. Apologies. Gotta get that checking out.
We get for what? Like, I know what it is. It's take time, right? Maybe there's a steroid or something I can take. I don't know. KU, real quick, and we'll get more into this a little more in depth in the second hour, as well as look at a little bit to K-State tonight. Look, I think that was exactly what you want to see. It's a tune-up game, essentially. They've had 3 tune-up games before North Carolina. I think that's what you're looking at. It's the first official one. I'll tell you, for me, the thing that has me sort of like perking up an eyebrow and almost everybody else, it's Flory Badunga and what he looks like right now for this team. And I know he's young, but man, like, he is developing quickly, let's say, because that dude can play. We knew what kind of athlete he was. We'd heard those stories, but it is translating, and it is translating quickly.
That was big for me. I think that obviously Flory Badunga, but also what the transfer Zeke Mayo and Diggy Coit did. And you've got guard play now outside of DeJuan Harris that is effective offensively while also not turning the ball over a ton on the defensive end of the floor. So I think that all of that combined is massive. And then just the overall depth of this Jayhawks team.
It's crazy.
They didn't have that a year ago. And this is like a calling card of Bill Self. A season occurs where there is a deficiency, or in the case of last season, multiple deficiencies, and he locks in and goes all in on remedying that in future years. And like, that's what he did during this offseason. It was like clear as day that there was not the depth necessary in this team a year ago to be successful. Right. And now they are probably the most deep team that Bill Self has had.
I would think so.
Right? And so it's just a night and day difference. And again, Howard is not, you know, world beaters by any means, but that was a good look at what this team could be at its ceiling. It obviously is going to get a whole lot tougher when they play North Carolina, but that was as good of a debut, I think, for newcomers in a Jayhawks uniform overall, whether you're talking about Badunga or the transfers, that I think we've seen in some time.
It's, and I think we did get a look at what things will look like most of the time. So, like, I expected Zeke Mayo to come in and be a jolt offensively, right? We expect Rylan Griffin to be a crazy athlete, but it lets KJ, the way this is constructed, and maybe Coit's probably the biggest surprise, but Adams can now do what Adams does, and Harris can now do what Harris does, and these guys can just be the best versions of themselves and not try to be too much. The thing, what I mean with Badunga is, I would tell you that going into the year, I didn't expect his leap to happen like,
yeah,
it looks like he's like ready to roll right now. I didn't see that development happen that quickly, I guess, and as things I was looking at this year.
And by the way, we spent that entire time talking about the Jayhawks and didn't mention Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson is a place for the team, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's, like, because he's if that
supporting cast around him can be so effective, like we saw in game number one, keep your eyes on Dickinson winning the Naismith this year, because he wouldn't necessarily have to have all the pressure on his shoulders, and he can do what he does. The guy stepped out and hit a three in the game, which that was few and far between a season ago. He looked that much more comfortable because he had a supporting cast that was dynamic around him.
Yeah, I mean, they shot the three well. It was exactly. We'll get more into it in the second hour and like project it out. And of course, the game against North Carolina. When we come back, Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, joins the program. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll get into last night. We'll look into a Broncos game on a short week. All the good stuff with Dan. That's coming up next. Stick with us. We'll give away some HTO as well in the second hour. Lot to get to, lot to cover on a Reaction Tuesday, full of Monday Night Football, college basketball talk. IHOP Hotline will be open after Dan, 869-1240. Don't go away. We're coming right back. More Sports Daily right after this.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.